Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
So the end of the year, for me, is always a time of reflection. I mean, how many of you toward the end of the year start to ask some questions about, like, your life? Anybody do that? Maybe, no? Most of you are like, I'm good. Some of you do? Okay. Like, I do a lot of that. And so I've been kind of reflecting on things that are good about the life, my life, and things that I like to change. And really trying to assess whether I should eat 24 cookies in one day, like if that's a legitimate option for life or not. And so I've been doing a lot of that. And, you know, and when I spend time reflecting and thinking about the past year, it's always interesting, I think, as a pastor, I spend a lot of time thinking about my life as an individual, you know, as a father of five children, or as a husband, or as a son, grandson, brother, friend, you know, all the different hats that I wear. Many of us in this room obviously wear multiple hats. And I think about that, and then I also start thinking about my life as a pastor and just in our collective community, the church. Like, what are some goals that we have, and what are things that I want to see change? And it kind of always reminds me of our transition to California. You know, like, we moved here 3.5 years ago to be a part of this church community. And we, Don and I, had been pastoring in a church in Wisconsin for like 11 or 12 years. And I remember when we started to sense God calling us to transition and to move from the icy cold Midwest. At first, it was a really hard challenge to consider, because we had been there for so long, and it was part of our, it was like where all of our kids had been born, had been raised. There was familiarity. All of our friends were there, all those type of things. And so, like, we went through a lot of different feelings. You know, like, I remember having a fair amount of fear. Like, when I started to really know without a shadow of a doubt that God was calling us to leave behind what we had known for so long, there was a ton of fear. You know, there was fear about you know, the transition and making, you know, like, when you transition in that space, there's a lot of people that get disappointed, and I was worried about that. I knew it would be a real tough transition to move from Wisconsin to Northern California. There was a lot of worry, too. There was a lot of financial worry, because before we moved, we didn't realize that California is a little bit more expensive than Wisconsin. Like, I mean, when we got here, we're like, whoa. Like, we bought a house in Wisconsin for $106,000. We had a 2,500 square foot house, and it was like beautiful. Here in Northern California, you can buy a small tent, and like, you're good. Like, you know, you know what I mean? And so we were like, I think we'd been here for like a month, and I just remember Don and I were like, it's like way more expensive here. Like, bread. I thought bread was the same everywhere, you know? And so there was a lot of worry and anxiety, I think, from that. But there was also a lot of excitement. I felt a lot of excitement. And primarily because I'm one of those weirdos that I love change. Like, people either love change or they don't love change, right? There's just not a whole lot of people who are like, whatever. Like, how many of you would say, I hate change, I order the same thing every time I go to certain restaurants? Honestly, just be honest right now. Some of you OCD people are out there, okay? But you also won't raise your hand, so it's like a really awkward moment. But, right? And then there's some people who, like, I love change. I love change. I do. If I did not have five children and I wasn't married, I would literally live in a van by a river. And I would change rivers every day. Like, I'd be like, all right, we're going west, or, you know, whatever. Like, I just would. I love change. And so there was a lot of excitement. But when I think about the overwhelming feeling in that season of life, it was a lot of trust. Like, because we knew, it was so obvious that God had spoken to us. We took a year and a half to discern this process. We had consulted with everybody we respected and who had made an impact in our life. All of our spiritual fathers and mothers and all of my friends that I respected and I believed heard from God, we had placed these things before the Lord and asked the Lord to confirm it, and we just knew. So for me, there was a lot of trust. Like, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God would love us through the entire process. I just knew it, you know. And so whenever I think about transitions or changes, or when I start assessing the past or looking to the future, I always think about that experience for us, because that was such a significant one for us. But throughout this whole entire journey in our life, there's been certain times and certain seasons where God reminds me of certain things he spoke to me personally through the Bible, through different Bible verses. Now, if you grew up in the church, if you're a church person, like you grew up in the church, like I've been in the church my whole entire life, you will have been told that you can have life verses. Anybody in the room ever have a life verse? No, some of you have. Like, how many of you have? Just like, okay, you've got like a life verse, you know, like, you know, I had somebody tell me my life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's my life verse, okay? Tons of people have life verses. For me, a verse that consistently comes up in my life, like I would go forward for prayer at a conference, for instance, you know, like they'd say, hey, anybody wants prayer for anything, come forward, and I'd go, because I'm an advocate for that, I'd go forward, and people would be like, oh, well, I really felt like the Lord put this verse on my heart, and then it was always the same thing. And this verse has just popped up time and time again for me. And it's in the book of Hebrews. And it's the chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews is this chapter that is rich with the story of Israel and all the people of Israel that demonstrated their faith by doing certain things. And so it's a really beautiful chapter. And so chapter 11, verse 6 is like the verse that keeps coming up. And I want to read this for you this morning because it'll play into, I think, what God is wanting us to consider this morning. But chapter 1 starts out and says this. The writer of Hebrews says, faith shows, listen to this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Let me say that again. That's such a beautiful way of defining faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. And that's the thing. Being people of faith can actually reverberate. It echoes beyond our lives. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Now listen to this, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Other translations will say, earnestly seek him. Let me read that again. This is like a life verse for me. It comes up all the time. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, I think this is important to point out that this idea of being rewarded for having faith is not the type of reward that sometimes we might think of. Like, this is not some guarantee for $1 million check in the mail, you get a mansion. Are you with me? It's not that type of reward. There's kingdom rewards that are different than the rewards that we oftentimes pursue in this life. And so let me give you an example of a reward that I think is very kingdom-centered that I see throughout the scriptures. And it's this, is that despite the circumstances we are in, we can have joy. We can actually have joy despite the situations we find ourselves in. And I've seen that so many times in my life that I can't even tell you how many times. I mean, I've stood in Kenya. The first time I went to Kenya to do a mission trip, we got a phone call from this guy who said, hey, I've got some church planners I'd like you to meet, and they just want to just have you pray for them. So we'd be honored to pray for them. We found out these two Somali church planners had been stoned in Somalia by a group of Muslims because they had converted from Islam to become followers of Jesus and had been rescued and brought to Kenya, and they were living in an 8x8 box. And we went there and we were like, oh my gosh, you know, like this is amazing, you know. And as we met them, all we could sense was joy. Like, they were just overwhelmed with joy because they knew Jesus. They were rewarded as they sought after God, they're rewarded with His presence and His joy and His love. And it was pretty inspiring. And so when I think about this verse and this idea of rewards, like, this is a significant promise. Do you agree? God promises to reward us if we diligently seek Him, if we earnestly seek Him, He will reward us. And the question then becomes, well, what will he reward us with? And I think that the primary reward is Him. The primary reward in the Bible is actually God Himself. Like, just as an aside, in the Old Testament, there's the whole entire Old Testament centers around the people of Israel. And the people of Israel had 12 tribes, okay? And each tribe had a certain responsibility or a certain part of the collective community. And there was a part of, one of the tribes was the Levites, and the Levites were the priests. And so all the different tribes were promised like a blessing. They were promised certain things, but the Levites were actually promised God Himself. That was like the blessing that they got. And I think that it carries over into the New Testament for us as followers of Jesus. The promise we have is we have Jesus. We have the one who can provide sustainable joy despite the situations we find ourselves in. So this Hebrews 11:6 is just like constantly like at the forefront. So this week I've been thinking about taking a few minutes, you know, not like our typical sermon where we go through a passage of scripture and think about what it meant and how it applies, but taking a few minutes and thinking about 2019 and then looking forward to 2020. And I think this verse actually has both like individual personal application, but I also think that there's something for our whole entire community. And as I told you before, that's the constant wrestling that I do is like, what's for me and what's for us? And I find oftentimes Jesus' answer to that question is yes. I'm like, wait a minute, but what's for me and what's for us? Yes. No, you don't understand, God. Yes. Ugh. So here's the deal. When I think about this promise for us, I think that it's easy to say, hey, when I look at 2020, what I want to have more in my life is I really feel like God's calling me to spend more time in the Bible and more time in prayer. Is there anybody in the room that would say that that's probably not true about them? No, right? Like, that's probably going to be the invitation all the time. But before we talk about where God is calling us, maybe a little bit as a church, let's look back and remember a little bit about what God has done in our community for the last year. Because I think remembering is quite an important aspect of following Jesus. In fact, in the Old Testament, so the people of Israel, okay, when you look at the Old Testament, the people of Israel end up in Egypt. Many of you know this story, but they end up in Egypt, and after 400 plus years, they end up in slavery. And then God raises up this man named, say it like you actually know. You're like, somebody? But he raises up Moses, right? And Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, listen, I want you to let my people go because God wants them to go out and worship Him. And Pharaoh says, no, thank you. And so then we have the 10 plagues, and what happens is God actually delivers Israel from Egypt. And as they go out from slavery, they go into the wilderness, making their way to the promised land. But if you study the story, it's very fascinating because it's like 15 minutes after they've been delivered, they're taking their earrings off and taking their chains, and they start melting it, and they build a golden calf. And guess what they do to the golden calf? They worship it. It's like 50, I'm not joking. It's like so quick. It's like, what happened? You just saw all these miraculous things, including the parting of the Red Sea. And then you're like, hey, I got an idea. Let's build a calf and worship it. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. Now, it's really easy to make fun of them because it's so dumb, but honestly, we do stuff like that all the time. Amen? Like, God does some amazing thing, and then we, like, a week later forgot about it, and we're back to, like, focusing on ourselves, okay? So that's why this idea of remembering is a big theme throughout the entire Bible. It's mentioned hundreds of times that we are supposed to remember what God has done for us. In fact, in the Old Testament, it happens all the time. So what happens is God will say, remember how I delivered you out of slavery. Remember how I rescued you and gave you salvation. It happens all over the Old Testament. In fact, what we see is there's these things that we call cycles of renewal in the Old Testament, where the people of God are stuck in slavery or being oppressed. Israel is under oppression. And then God raises up people, deliverers, who foreshadow and point to Jesus, the ultimate deliverer. And what they do is they rescue God's people from that situation. And it's like very shortly after that, they kind of drift. They forget what God did. And then they start worshiping idols. Happens all the time. It's a cycle. And that's why we have what are called minor and major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nahum, Amos, Habakkuk. All these different prophets are raised up by God to remind the people of Israel what God has done in the past. Because it's important to remember. Because as soon as we forget what God has done, it's super easy to drift and to no longer center ourselves on Jesus and his kingdom. So I think it's important for us to remember. Amen? Like, we need to do that both individually, but I also think we need to do that collectively. So for a few minutes here, let's think about what God has done over the past year. First thing that I cannot help but think of is that after 25 years, our church planted a church. We've birthed a church in Alturas, California. I have no idea where that is. Alturas is apparently in California, but no, I'm just kidding. But Nikki and Corey felt a calling by God to sell their stuff and to move to Alturas, where she was raised, where she said she would never go, by the way. She's like, I'm never going back there. She did, and she did that for the glory of God and the well-being of people. And so I just think that that's an example of God being very gracious to us. And isn't it amazing when you see people respond to God and they say yes to him? It's beautiful. Another thing that I think we can celebrate is that we have baptized over 30 people this last year. And I think that's amazing. We also saw, as far as Don and I can discern through all the different conversations and the different ways that people communicate, is that we've had at least 40 people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus this last year. I think that's significant. Another thing that I would say is we've seen some amazing Love Red Bluff events that were smashing successes, like the Chili Cook-Off. Chili Cook-Off this year, we'll do it again, but it was just so beautiful to see dozens of people in a tent, you know, sharing God's love in a practical way, giving out chili and water bottles and just loving on people. It was beautiful. Or, you know, the new California norm where they turn off our power because they have not fixed their power equipment. I will move on. But it's like the new thing. And so now we have to make lunches for kids, because what we found out is that there are literally hundreds of kids in our community that don't get lunch that week because they don't go to school that day. And so, you know, some people in our church said, we should do something about that. And they said, let's do it. And so we've made hundreds of lunches and gave hundreds of lunches away. Saw dozens of families and kids come to this church or go to these drop-off locations to pick up lunches. And that was beautiful. And then yesterday, our Christmas Day's cookie giveaway. It was just beautiful. So let's do an exercise for a minute. Just close your eyes where you're at. So like, I'm thinking of a lot of collective church things that we've done, but just for a minute with your eyes closed, what are three things that you can look back over 2019 and say God has been at work? You'd say, oh my gosh, I can see God's work here and here. You know, maybe you've had God provide some relationships that you desperately needed. Maybe there's been other things that God's done, but what are three things that God has done that you can be grateful for right now? Say, I'm really grateful for that. Because we need to remember these things. You need to remember these things. You need to remember these things. In the Old Testament, we actually read where God tells Israel to write these things, the law, the reminder of the story of Israel and his rescuing them, to write them all over their houses. Like, when I was growing up, my mom, she still does this too. I'm so grateful for my parents. You know, she writes down like promises from God all over the house. Like, when you go in the bathroom, the mirror's just like, you can't even see yourself. It's like, you know? Because there's all these promises, or on the refrigerator or whatever, like, and that's the commitment and the priority of remembering what God has done. So let's just, for a few minutes here, just for a few minutes here, think about the future. I spent a lot of time wrestling with that question of like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you calling us? Where are you leading us? And that's conversations that I have with dozens of people or part of our church. Like, what's God doing? Where do you sense him leading? And, you know, Don and I talk about that all the time. Like, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, let's pray. Let's talk. And we discern. And I feel like it's important to just throw this out there because it'd be really easy for me to throw out lots of ideas. I like doing that. It's fun. But this is something that, as I prayed this week, I felt like this phrase, this sentence, this answer to that question became apparent, and it's this. Where we are headed is contingent on where God leads us. That's the first thing. Does that make sense? We want to be responsive to God's leading, but it's also contingent on how much you participate in our mission. Like how much you, as an individual person who's sitting in a chair, breathe, check, take your finger, check your pulse. Is it still? If you're a human, it's our ability to move forward where we're feeling God direct us is contingent on A, discerning where God's leading us, but it's also contingent on us participating. Because again, it's super easy to make lists and ideas and dream. Like, I love doing that. And I can do that all day long, but getting those things done is harder if we're not all collectively putting our hand to the plow. And so let me explain what I mean by this just a little bit. This idea of is being contingent on where God leads us. If you grew up going to churches, you might have been a part of a church that does things like this. Like, sit down. People sit down and they're like, well, let's come up with a plan. All right, cool. And they write down all their plans. Get it all worked out, and then they say, God, will you bless this plan? We're going forward. In our theology, and this is built into Vineyard theology, I mean, you will find this to be in almost most vineyards that you'll go to. Not every vineyard's the same, but most vineyards you go to, we have a different approach to it. We look at the Gospel of John, and we see Jesus' example of always trying to do what the Father is doing as being a model for us to follow. So what we do is we say, hey, where's God at work and how can we join him and partner with him? Rather than us like come up with a great plan and then try to carry it out and hope God blesses it, we really want to like take time to discern, keep our eyes and our ears open, both our physical eyes and ears, but also our spiritual eyes and ears, and discern like, what is God doing? And if he's working in some way, shape, or form, let's partner with him. Because what I found to be true is that when we do things God's way, it works out. Have you found that to be true? Let me ask this question. Have you found when you do it your way, it doesn't always work out? No. Right? Like, sometimes it's a disaster. But that's an important thing for us. So we want to know where God's at work, and we want to bless it. It's part of our ethos, but it comes from our theology. Theologian hat on for a minute. It's actually built and ingrained in our doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the relationship we see us as followers of Jesus having a relationship with the Spirit. So we always are trying to not earn God's blessing for what we do, but to respond to what God is doing and bless that and join him. And I think one example of that would be the Love Red Bluff stuff. I mean, like I said, it's just like we put no energy. Like, we had this post. This is crazy to me. Like, social media, as you know, is so interesting to me. Like, we created a Facebook post. And it got shared over 130,000, viewed by 130,000 people. It was like shared by hundreds of people. And that's happened consistently every time we do any Love Red Bluff thing. And you see it if you're on Facebook. I mean, there's people, I'm like, they don't even go to our church. Why are they sharing our stuff? They're not allowed to. Wait. Right? It's like it happens all the time. It's beautiful. Okay, so that's important. And the second part of this idea of how much you participate in our mission, the reason why that's important is because we have this saying in the Vineyard where we always say that everyone gets to play, right? And that might be like, well, that's such a cool little saying, and I know people in this room who would be, that's like my favorite thing about the Vineyard, is everybody gets to play. But that comes right from the Bible, okay? In 1 Peter, we read that God has a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. It's all followers of Jesus. We also read in 1 Peter chapter 4 that he has given gifts to everybody. Everybody. So every follower of Jesus, if you're in this room, you breathe, check it. Yep, you do. If you have made a personal decision to follow Jesus, you have received grace because of you've said Jesus died on the cross for my salvation. If you've done that, you're in the family, you are promised to be filled with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who gifts us to be able to do things for the glory of God and the well-being of people. So this is important. This everyone gets to play thing is part of what we are. Like, we are not the type of church that believes that only a select few people should do things. Amen? That's not how we roll. In fact, it takes 40 people every Sunday to do all the things that we do as a church. And it's not just Sunday morning, but throughout the week, there's about 40 people that are doing things for every service we have, or for the two services. So the Bible doesn't teach the idea that the pastors do it all. The Bible teaches that everybody should participate. So here's the big ask. Are you ready for it? Going into salesman mode. Okay. Thank you. We need to have more volunteers, okay? And so if you go to this website right here, you're on Facebook right now anyway, chatting with your friends, so you might as well just go to this website, okay? But if you go to this website and you see there's a number of different ways for you to plug in, and you can get on the schedule, and we will follow up with you, and we'll provide training. We really want to step it up in this area and get more organized, but there's a lot of different ways you can serve. So like if you're, like how many of you right now just really want to be a preacher? Dang it. How many of you are like totally willing to help serve, but you just don't want to be on the stage? How many of you are just lazy? Let's just be honest. Just throw it out there. Okay, thank you for that hand, by the way. Some of you are not willing to do certain things, but we have lots of opportunities for you to serve. So like, for instance, the coffee team, you don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to stand on the stage. You can push a button and make wonderful heavenly liquid that I get to drink. Let's take a pause. This is brought to you by the coffee team. And it's so good. So there's a lot of different areas that you can plug into serving. And you go on this web, you'll go to this page and it has all these different areas. So we need greeters, we want to have hosts, we want to have ushers, we have kids team opportunities, coffee and snacks. Like I said, there's tons of different areas to serve. Musicians, we would like to have more musicians and singers and things like that. So I want to encourage you to take an opportunity to go to that website and spend some time. There's a sheet that we have. Spend time thinking and praying about how you can serve in 2020, how you can plug in to our church community. Let's stand up together. Where we are headed, I think, is like, I don't know, to keep on following Jesus and just being the church that he's called us to be. And so I'd like to just encourage you to really think about that. How do you fit in? Where do you see yourself plugging in? You know, it'd be amazing if we had 80% of our church community plug in some significant way. It means you would serve once every 2 months. That's not that much. So pray about it. Think about where you can fit in. I'd love to. If you wanted to sit down and have coffee and talk about where you kind of see yourself fitting, I'd love to do that because there's coffee involved. Let's just be honest. But could we just for a moment just spend some time praying together? So if you would like to pray with me, I'd love for that. And just close your eyes. Maybe that might help you just be able to hear what God might be speaking to you. Pray, come, Holy Spirit. So I got a couple of things that I just sensed the Lord. This is actually specifically for this service. It wasn't something that we felt during the 9 o'clock, but I feel like there's a couple people in this room that when you think about plugging in, first of all, for those of you that are plugged in, you're connected, don't feel any obligation to do more. That is not what we're asking. But there's a couple people in this room that when you think about why you're unable to like maybe make a commitment and get on a team and start actually participating in something, the first reason why you say, I don't know, the first objection is because you're busy. And I would love to encourage those of you in this room who actually know that you're too busy. I'd like to actually pray for you, because I think in 2020, one thing that God has actually been speaking to you for a while is about slowing down. I think there's a number of you in this room that you know that. Like, this is not news. This is just me reading your mail in a sense. And so before we pray for any other needs, is there anybody in the room that would say, yeah, that's me. I know that I need to slow down. God has been speaking that to me. Is anybody just be willing to admit that? Yeah? Now, if the people around you are saying you need to raise your hand, right? Okay, so hey, listen, if you raise your hand, just keep your hand up. We want to pray for you. So if you see somebody with their hand up, would you just put your hand on their list? Three people over there. This is an opportunity to get involved. Everybody gets to play. Okay? And we're going to do some other stuff too. Okay, so we're just going to pray for these people right now. So if you had your hand up, we're going to pray right now for God to empower you to slow down. And so, Father, I pray right now for every person in this room that has their hand up and is acknowledging this need to slow down. Would you right now, with your presence and the power of your kingdom, would you come and would you help them to see what things they need to let go and say no to, and what things they need to give up in order to have a posture that is able to say yes to you. I just pray for freedom right now for any one of these people who is caught up in doing things because they feel like that's the way to have value. So right now, Jesus, would you free anybody in this room who gets their identity and their value from doing things? Would you help each one of them to get their value from you? In the name of Jesus right now, bring freedom. For those of you that are, if you're praying for them, just pray right now for the kingdom of God to come. Just following Jesus' prayer, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Just pray that right now. Just pray that the kingdom of God would come. And Lord, I pray that as the kingdom is coming right now, that you would bring to mind for these people in their hearts and their minds awareness of what steps to take. And now for anybody else in this room, here's the question I want us to think about. Is if you, like, what is one thing that you need God to do for you right now? Just close your eyes in this room, just wherever you're at. Just think about that question. Is there something that you need God to do right now? It might be physical healing. It may be financial provision. I think oftentimes people may have a relationship that is now fragmented and broken that immediately comes to mind because you want God to restore that relationship. Maybe there's another need that you have, whatever need. If you have a need this morning, I really sensed this week that God wanted us to not assume that we're already in 2020, but that we're still in 2019 and that God is more than able to do a miracle right now so that you can continue to remember and look back over this current year and say, wow, God worked miracles up until the very end. And so if you have a need right now in this room, you like immediately when you heard that question, it just came to mind. Would you just put your hand up right now? Just say, I have a need. Okay, so this is church being church again. Look around. There's lots of hands up. There's hands over there. There's hands here. If you don't have a hand because things are going good, would you go right now and put hand on the shoulder? If you're comfortable with that. If you're not, totally cool. There's no pressure. But if you need God to do a miraculous thing right now, we want to pray for you. Okay, is everybody good? Covered? So again, we're praying the same thing. God, would your Holy Spirit come right now? Carson, you're getting baptized, right? Come to the row right in front of you and put your hand right on her shoulder. You're part of the kingdom, so. And you're just going to pray, Carson, right now. You're going to pray for the kingdom to come right now into Sherry's life. Lord, we just pray for the kingdom to break into every one of these situations that people have in this room, every need that is represented by these hands and these hearts, would you meet those needs? Would you pour out grace on every one of these people? Lord, would you help them to receive all that you have for them right now? And for those of you praying, if you want to just lean in and say, is there anything specific you need prayer for? Feel free to do that right now. We're just going to, just 2 more minutes. Let's just take 2 more minutes and just keep praying. And if they have a specific need that they are willing to share with you, just pray. Just, if you have needs that maybe you didn't feel comfortable to acknowledge those, I want to just remind you of this. This is from Ephesians chapter 3:20. I'll close with this verse, 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And so, Father of glory, as we stand here, we just read in Scripture that you are able to accomplish more than we could ever imagine, infinitely more than we could ever imagine or think. And so I pray for every spoken prayer request, for every arm raised, every hand raised, every heart that has needs and desires from you. I pray that you would meet every one of those more than we could ever imagine. And I pray a blessing on everybody as we transition from this space of gathered worship. Would you go with us and help us to live our lives in a way that is ambassadors of love, that is able to extend the kingdom, that is able to express grace, is able to do all the things that you have called us to do and to be. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people who agreed said amen. Have a great week. Feel free to stick around, have a cup of coffee, and meet someone new.